This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. We are here in our second hour of Radio Law Talk. And for the first hour, we were talking about Johnny Depp and everything with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Now we're going to follow that up because a lot of questions to still to answer. And again, these questions are more along the lines of where do we go from now? What is going forward? Not really talking about why things happened the way they did, but what the effect of this is going forward. And I neglected to mention this in the first hour. We have a new affiliate.
We do.
We do.
Yay.
We do. This is one thing that Fred sent me and wanted me to put on there. A new affiliate out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cool.
That's WCVG 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, Cincinnati, Ohio. Thanks for picking up the show. And great to be on in the great state of Ohio and in the city of Cincinnati.
Thank you, Buckeyes. I'll do my best not to offend you this hour.
Have you ever been to Cincinnati?
No. I have never been to Cincinnati, but look, I was a very impressionable kid growing up, and there was a certain sitcom about a radio station that was set in Cincinnati, was my favorite sitcom growing up. I mean, I was only like 10, 12 years old.
WKRP, Cincinnati.
Dr. Johnny Fever, Venus Flytrap, Les Nessman was the news guy.
Gary Anderson, I had lunch with him. I took a cab with him to a news director's convention meeting so one time. Nice guy. The guy who played Les Nessman. Really nice man.
Yeah, I think that show suffered from network executives continually bouncing at a time slot. Apparently, the folks that liked it just couldn't find when it was going to be on, and it went away. I wasn't a fan of the reboot, but... welcome to the Radio Law Talk family, WCVG 1320 AM and 103.9 FM, Cincinnati, Ohio. Glad to have you aboard. Cal.
Yeah.
So we got a case or no case to get to.
Tell.
What is going on?
Oh, you're
going
to like this one. I hope you
now do. It's time to play case or no case.
By the way, I got a call from a guy who said, a man who said, listen, Cal, you should get a point every time one of them misses. I said, no, I would win. I'd win too much. It would be too easy. It wouldn't be fair. He said, you should anyway. Okay, well, he's on my side. I like the way
you can put that to the compensation package for you, Cal. Before you do this, for the folks tuning in Cincinnati, Ohio, can you give a quick rundown of what Case or No
Sure.
Case is?
Case or No Case is a bit of the program that we use every hour in which I try to deceive the lawyers on our panel, the many distinguished, very smart lawyers on our panel, all three of them if I can, into giving them a scenario or a legal case and having them determine whether I'm just giving them a pile of poo or I'm giving them an actual case. And if it is a case, they have to try to take a guess as to the outcome. If they get that correct, they get points. Denise Dirks is currently, you just said you were in the lead, is that correct?
Oh, no, I'm behind.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Todd's in the lead.
The lead is Todd.
Right, Todd's in the lead. And the person who wins, the other two buy him or her dinner. So there are many dinners at the Radio Law Talk table. I just want to go on record as saying that. So here we go. You ready?
Yes.
I'm glad you brought up WKRP because this is a radio case or no case. The year was 1985. That was the year that an unnamed Fred, who was a radio station operator, decided he wanted to up the ante for the ratings for his radio station, KELI. The ratings firm, through a survey process, used a hand-kept diary at the time, and that documents what percentage of local audience each radio station has. Each survey person is asked to fill out a diary of his radio listening for a week. But on September 19th of 1985, Fred circulated a letter to various members of the advertising community within Tulsa, Oklahoma, and elsewhere on behalf of his station. He said, "If you listen and write my name down on the Arbitron Diary, I will pay you $13.40 for each diary I get back." So he's basically trying to buy listenership. Arbitron, which is now owned by Nielsen, said, "We have a lot of lawyers." Fred said, "Well, thanks to you, I don't have any money, so what are you going to do about it?" He sent out the letter. Arbitron called the legal team together and asked the legal team, "Do we have a case or no case for someone trying to jigger the numbers?" And Todd Kuhnen, that's your turn.
Okay, so was somebody trying to artificially inflate their listenership by providing some sort of financial compensation to those that were responsible for taking the poll? By the way, just a quick question. Have you ever been in a Nielsen rater?
I can't. I've always worked in media my whole life. But when I do, I have to send it back and say I'm not eligible because I'm in media.
What about you, Denise? Have you ever done the Nielsen thing?
Yeah, about 10 years back.
Yeah. I wonder how often it still happens with this metric now. I mean, I don't think they would need it, for example, on Hulu or any of the streaming networks. You just know who logs on and how long they're
Hulu.
And how long they're on, right? It's all possibly far more accurate. But yeah, I digress. I'm not trying to pull a Denise and extend and do anything.
Well, the shtick
like
is now they use what are called people meters. So you have a meter, and the meter measures what you listen to and sends it back to the home office, so to speak.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And then you have these VPNs where you can hide your IP address and where you're logging on from. So well, I got a lot of people watching this show from Amsterdam.
Well, I mean, radio is done by the actual connection to the actual radio. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, okay, so here's what I'm going to say.
In bigger markets.
1985. Yeah, all right, so here we go. This is a true scenario, but not a case at that time because of the way that it was worked out. It was viewed as... No, how did I get it? Yes, what the heck? Live dangerously, Todd. Run with scissors, drink 2% milk after it's been expired. I'm going to add this to my list and go out on a limb and say it is a case, and the basis of the case is tortious interference with contract, because the Nielsen folks have a contract based upon how they're supposed to go. This guy was trying to interfere with the viability of the product that they put out in a tortious manner. Tort, by the way, torts comes from the word torture.
Means mean.
Yes. So, yes. And Nielsen wins.
Denise, what do you think about this? Is this a torturous thing, or is it a case or no case?
Well, it wasn't Nielsen. It was Arbitron.
Correct. But they're the same company now, right?
Yeah. Oh, they are.
Yeah. Arbitron bought Nielsen. I mean, bought Arbitron. Nielsen is the big measurement company now.
Well, I don't think that that Arbitron would have any kind of cause of action at all. I think that the listeners that wrote in letters would have a cause of action if he didn't pay. They could, you know, do a big one. But I really don't think that Arbitron has a cause of action. Mm. So I'm going to say scenario, but no case.
Interesting. I love the way you guys pick this stuff apart and try to figure it out.
Now, one of the reasons, I could be wrong, and it wouldn't be the first time, but one of the reasons why I thought it was a case was because Nielsen bought Arbitron, which is if Nielsen bought Arbitron because now they know they have the protection against these kind of shenanigans, which Arbitron would have won their lawsuit, which allowed Nielsen to confidently say, "We can buy this so that people can't..."
Well, Nielsen bought them much later, to be candid, and
it's a trickle down effect, Cal. Trickle down. It's trickle down.
That's the thought process in Todd's brain. Trickle down.
Backward in time. Get on the DeLorean and figure it out.
Toys in the attic. You know, monkeys running the asylum. Pretty much. Just look. If you want to go spelunking through my brain, you better take a canary. So we'll find out what is a case or no case after whether Cal has deceived us or not. No. Cal Hunter putting his eternal soul in jeopardy three times every Saturday trying to deceive us on Radio Law Talk.
And I'd never do it deliberately. Everybody knows that. We'll be right back on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned.
Radio Law Talk. This is Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Okay. Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch these cutting shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic. And maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Stop whining. Oh, come on.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So Cal has been trying to pull the wool over our eyes, as he has done for the last, 5 years now.
Desperately clawing for points, Todd. Yes. Clawing for points.
You know, Cal is referenced to pulling the wool and the wolf in sheep's clothing and all that. You know, the Three Little Pig story is being changed. Apparently there were four houses.
I am insulted at the reference. Go ahead, what?
There was a house of straw, a house of sticks, a house of bricks, and a house of case or no case.
Oh, and a house of stupid, yeah. Okay, so you gave us your opinion. Denise, what do you think about this?
Well, I said scenario, but no case.
Todd, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said case, that the Arbitron / that later became Nielsen was bought out by Nielsen, that they won. Yes, that they won, that the person that tried to grease the skids to buy votes in the ratings ended up losing.
Well, interestingly, I want to tell you, I know of this case because the person who did this...
Who did the
Arbitron scamming...
Okay.
...is a person who used to be involved in my business life as a partner with my former partner. He's no longer with us. He has shuffled off his mortal coil. God rest his soul. So here's the point. Those of you who say it's a case, arms up, please. That would be... Congratulations to you. Sorry, Denise. Man, here comes the look again, Tom. Okay.
Well, it went to me first and ricocheted over to you.
Fair enough. Maryland-based Arbitron filed a $60 million lawsuit against KELI-AM and its president, Frederick M. Weinberg. The suit accuses the station of intentional interference with business, contract interference, as you pointed out, Todd, violation of state deceptive trade practices, injury to Arbitron's property, violation of federal racketeering. I'm surprised they didn't charge him with murder. Anyway, there's several more charges like antitrust and some other things like that. So,
did they charge him with defaming Johnny Depp? No? Okay.
Not yet. John Wayne, though. No, okay, so... Arbitron sought and got a preliminary injunction to prevent KELI from continuing in the current Arbitron campaign. Fred Weinberg settled with the company by stopping the campaign, but he got $1 million worth of free nationwide publicity, which is just what he wanted out of all of this. Because, you know, he just wanted people to pay attention to his station, and it wasn't doing very well. This really opened the door. He was front page news in the Tulsa Herald for a long time. So rest your soul, Fred Weinberg. Nice shot. This is... Okay, so Denise, you get nothing out of this.
I get nothing, but does he get two? Because I didn't hear the Arbitron won.
Arbitron did win in this case. He got him to cease and desist. They didn't get the money because there's no way he had $60 million, but they got him to stop, and everything worked out just fine. And that,
I know Fred.
He just gave you the. You know Fred Weinberg, yeah. Todd just gave
I knew Fred.
He just gave you a smug look. Denise, did you see that?
It's like, yes, Denise, you are my slave and servant.
No, it wasn't.
Buying me dinner soon.
I should live more dangerously more often because I was going to say no and then decided, you know what?
You did.
Along with running with scissors and drinking 2% milk after the expiration date. So I decided to go a different route.
I love that. Now, next hour here, we're going to talk about, you know how when you go to a restaurant and they offer you a free dinner?
Yes.
Well, this guy went to a restaurant and wanted not a free dinner, his free dessert, and didn't get it, and all kinds of Hades broke loose after that. So that'll be case or no case next hour, and that's it for this hour. And now, back to your favorite Saturday indulgence, Radio Law Talk.
So when we were when we went to the break, at the top of the top of the hour break, we were talking, obviously, about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, hold on a second here. Wasn't there a similar trial across the pond over in England where Johnny Depp sued the Sun? I mean, Johnny Depp sued the Sun for running a headline that essentially called him a wife beater. Not essentially. I think that was in the headline. It was literally what was there. And that was based, that headline was based in no small part and maybe almost even exclusively on the Amber Heard op-ed. And Amber Heard even testified at that trial. And the judge even said at that trial, wow, you know, I credit her testimony. Look, she's giving this stuff to charity and blah, blah, blah. But Denise, when we were going to the break, you wanted to point out, and I think this is very astute, the difference between the two trials. And you actually have experience because you clerked for a barrister, didn't you?
I did.
All right, so what's going on? What's the difference?
I actually went into court with a barrister. And it was the plaintiffs were Americans, and the defendant was an English business, a big business, big corporate business. And unfortunately, the American plaintiffs lost, but to the benefit of my barrister, they won.
Yeah.
Anyway, the biggest difference here, huge difference, is that in England, you don't have a right to a jury trial. In England, the judge is the jury. And that is what, in my opinion, gave Johnny Depp the courage to continue with his suit in the United States. Because it's, in my opinion, it's easier to persuade the jury on facts than it is to persuade the judge as he hears facts and applies it to law. And that's where I figure the biggest difference. And secondly, the law that's different. In the UK, there's no actual malice that was needed to be proven by, remember, it was a newspaper that was being sued by Depp for defamation of character. And what the newspaper had said was he was a wife beater. No details, just quote unquote a wife beater. And that was what Johnny was saying was Depp. So they didn't have to show that he, that Johnny would not have to show in England that the newspaper acted with actual malice, because they don't have the same protections that freedom of the press has in the United States. So what the judge found in the UK was that the allegations of Heard was, quote, substantially true, not completely true, not that Johnny Depp was lying. He didn't have to make those decisions. He just had to find even one event where it could be asserted that Johnny Depp had been a wife beater.
And so that's why things are different. When we come back, we'll wrap up our discussion of Johnny Depp, and then we'll end up going talking about, I don't know, Crab Fisherman and Michael Avenatti. Those are not tied. And other cases here of note on Radio Law Talk. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll catch you after this break.
So they're not tied that we know of. There could be some odd.
Allegedly.
We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk in just a little bit right here. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing, to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-721-4869. 800-721-4869. That's 800-721-4869.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560.
USA Radio News. former Trump advisor Peter Navarro was arrested after trying to board a flight at an airport in Nashville. Per an unsealed court document, Navarro was indicted on charges of contempt of Congress after repeatedly defying the orders of the House committee investigating the January 6 riot.
President Biden cannot decide what our rights as Americans are. That's not the role of the executive branch. He's picking and choosing to basically try to take our Second Amendment rights away.
That was Representative Chuck Fleischmann on Newsmax. His comments come after President Biden urged Congress to pass strict gun control laws. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Stop whining. Are you serious?
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So when we went into the break, we were talking about the difference between the Johnny Depp trials, the one that was in England about a year ago, a year or so ago, and then the one just concluded here in the United States. And, yeah, it seems like an anomaly, but I think it speaks to a pretty essential part of the trial process. It's an anomaly in the sense that Johnny Depp won in the United States, where the burden of proof on Johnny Depp was much higher than the burden of proof he had over in England. The difference being the case in America, in the United States, was tried before a jury, whereas the case in England was before a single jurist, the judge who had to decide.
And in my experience, now it's very limited, but when I was doing a mini pupillage in England underneath a barrister, I found that the English courts favored the English defendants. In my particular case, it was there were two class actions for asbestos damage to plaintiffs, and they got a big, huge class action judgment, two of them in the United States against an English defendant, and they were taking that judgment to England to enforce it against the principal, not the subsidiary that was in the United States, but the one that was a principal in England. And the reason that they found in favor of the defendant, the big corporation in England, was because they said that the judge in the Texas court had acted as a settlement conference judge as well, and he would have heard evidence that would not be admissible before the judge in a normal trial, and that the judge was not biased as a result. So they would not enforce those judgments in England. And that tells you a big difference about perspective, about what judges think the judge's role is in a country where the judge makes it, and the judge's role in a country where the judge gives it to the jury to make the decisions. It's very different thought process, but that does show the differences between the United States and the United Kingdom in terms of their civil trials.
Yep. You know, one of the things that came to mind, I've done a lot of jury trials, and again, these have all been in the criminal realm, criminal jury trials, as both a prosecutor and a defense attorney. And look, and I was telling you this at the break, Denise, you'd like to think, and in a perfect world, maybe it's all about X's and O's, the evidence, and that people will go ahead and just view the evidence and make the decision in terms of do these facts, when I apply it to the law, is it guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? Is it not guilty? Is it for the plaintiff? Is it for the defendant in civil cases? And look, you got to remember that jurors are people. And jury trials, this is my opinion, but jury trials start out with jury selection, and that process is so vital to the success of your trial, because essentially the jury selection process, while on its face appears to be selecting a fair and impartial jury pool to hear this case, but really it's about connecting as the attorney with the jury, because the jury, whether consciously or subconsciously, is making a determination about which side they connect with the most. And if the jury connects with the plaintiff's side more than the defendant's side, and the jury is impaneled and the people on the jury really connect with the plaintiff, it's not absolute, but there's a higher likelihood that because they've connected and they like the person and they just feel a comfort level with them, that every piece of evidence that is presented from that point forward during the trial, there's a high likelihood that the jury will view that in light more favorable to the side that they have already felt like they connected with. It is vital. I've talked to young attorneys. I've trained young attorneys, both a prosecutor and a defense attorney. And I come across a couple that say, when I ask them, so what are your plans for jury selection? And so, I don't know, I'm just going to take the first 12 that sit. I'm not going to do a whole lot. And I'm like, you don't realize that more than 50% of your case is how you present yourself in jury selection. You want to be personable. You want to connect with that jury. And if you're overlooking that, you're going to have a tough row to hoe when it comes to this trial. And you see that in this playing out in the Depp trial. Here, Johnny Depp, had a higher burden of proof in the United States than he had in England. But we had a jury here, and my opinion was that the Depp legal team connected with the jury better than Amber Heard's legal team.
Depp did as a witness,
yes.
To be candid. Depp did. He was real. He was himself. He was casual. He sometimes was nonsensical, quite honestly, but it was his personality that they liked.
Yeah.
And you guys have to remember, the trial is not about the facts. The trial is about what evidence gets in to the juror. Right? It's the evidence. It's not necessarily about facts. And that's super important to realize, because a lot of facts don't come into a trial. That's why it was so critical when Amber Heard said that at the end, that it doesn't matter the pile of evidence that's there. You know, you can't come against somebody that is as powerful as my ex-husband. That's why she said that evidence. She didn't say facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really kind of telling, in a way, that she really did understand the process that she went through.
She did. But you know, this speaks to the importance of the appellate process. So if a jury goes too far and sides for, let's say the jury sides for Johnny Depp, and they did, And then on appeal, the record on appeal, as argued to appellate justices who aren't playing the which side do I like better, that are looking at the evidence that came out, looking at the rulings of the judge, not as predisposed as your lay juror to, oh, which person do I like more? If it is so egregious, one side versus the other, that's the importance of the appellate process that can, not always, but can step in and see if there was an abuse during the trial of discretion on the part of the judge or evidence that shouldn't have come in, what have you. You know, an appellate panel, a little more dispassionate, can.
Yeah, and especially at the appeals level, they have gone, there are decisions, factual decisions that have been made at the trial level that when they're appealed, they are the factual part. That now it becomes facts for the appellate court to consider. It's not just evidence. They look at whether or not the evidence is substantial enough to support the facts, maybe, but the facts as given are the facts that the appellate court now has to address.
And so the question is whether or not Amber Heard's going to appeal to get a more dispassionate body to view the evidence. But, Denise, you had referenced statements that Amber Heard made. I want to read the statement. This is the statement that she released shortly after the verdict was announced. And it says, quote, "The disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband." And then she says, "I am even more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. It is a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when a woman who spoke up and spoke out could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously." Now, a couple of things about that statement, okay? There's been some speculation. Wait a second, Ms. Heard, the statement about the power and influence that you faced, that you put in the op-ed, was part of these statements that you were just found liable for defamation. Now you're making the exact, what appears to be a very similar statement post-trial. Didn't you learn anything from what the jury is going to view as far as a statement like that is concerned? I really don't think that John, even if there was a potential cause of action, I don't think Johnny Depp is going to go after that. If anything, I think that statement makes it more difficult for Depp to maybe do the magnanimous thing.
I totally agree.
And say, I'm going to forgive your debt. But she made a point there. And
what she said, there's a very much a huge truth about it.
Yes. The point that she made about the effect on women, and I want to do justice to my opinion and Denise's opinion on that, and I can't do that in the next minute, so we'll pick that up when we come back because it's a very salient point.
So why don't you call us at 855-LAW-RADIO? That's 855-529-7234.
It's interesting how the more you discuss, more layers off the onion come loose, and you start to see more and more angles for all of this, isn't it? And you stay tuned because Radio Law Talk will continue in just a minute right here on your local radio station and on RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be right back. Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, This is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
No fun. That's true.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Fred Penny on assignment. Todd Kunin filling in for him with Denise Dirks and Cal Hunter. We'll finish up the Johnny Depp commentary with this. Going back to Amber Heard's statement, I think this will springboard into the topic we want to get to, where she talks about what the, in her statement, being, quote, disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. She says it's a setback. And I want to point out a few things, because to a certain extent, I agree with Amber Heard, maybe not for the same reasons, but I do agree. When I saw the verdict, my big concern was, to what extent is this verdict going to act as a discouragement for legitimate victims of domestic violence coming forward and making a claim? And I think one of the reasons is the confusion that a trial like this might create in the mind of somebody who's a legitimate victim of domestic violence. Amber Heard lost this trial. There was a lot of claims of domestic violence. She lost this trial and ended up with essentially initially a $15 million judgment against her, offset by law. It's still in $8.35 million. And my big fear is that a victim of domestic violence who has a claim that wants to pick up the phone and call law enforcement to say, my husband's beating me, I'm being abused, I'm doing this, is now going to fear that an $8 million judgment could be raised against them if they make an allegation and they're not believed. And folks, that's the difference between civil and criminal. If you are a victim of domestic violence, pick up the phone and make the call. You're not going to get hit. At the conclusion of the trial, if you're a victim and for some reason the jury acquits the defendant, you're not liable for making that claim to call law enforcement. Okay? And it's not like at the end of that, the defendant is acquitted and the witness who, the complaining witness now owes $8 million. No, that's a difference between criminal and civil. It's a difference between the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt versus the preponderance, which is the civil side. Do not let this verdict, if you are a victim of domestic violence, don't let this verdict discourage you from picking up the phone and calling and reporting it to law enforcement because you think you're going to get hit with a huge money judgment if things don't turn out.
And I think Denise knows this better than anybody. That is, there are times when charges of domestic violence or sexual abuse are used as a weapon in a case when they really are true, when they're kind of, you know, just brought in there to try to cause grief for the other person on the other side. So I think that happens,
but what happens more is that a victim of domestic violence is the perpetrator often re-victimizes in different ways, such as, like, in a family law context, the perpetrator may try to use the children. The perpetrator may try to get advantage of finances. The perpetrator, believe me, it happens a lot to where victims of domestic violence are re-victimized, even in the civil context. And I think that what Depp versus Heard should not mean that victims don't stand up for their rights, whether it's criminally or civilly.
Agreed.
They need to stand up for their rights. And that this case, because it's so high profile, it has a lot of nuances that most cases will not have. And I just have to say that I hope that this case does not have a chilling effect on the victims standing up for their rights.
I absolutely agree.
Great point, both of you.
Very few things that Denise and I agree upon in the show, but that is one of them. I wholeheartedly agree. And look, I agree with that as a former prosecutor who prosecuted domestic violence and sexual assault. I've handled those cases. As a defense attorney, sexual assault is not a case that, for reasons I have yet to and try to avoid the sexual assault cases. But as a defense attorney, yeah, I still want victims of crime to come forward. And look, if somebody comes forward with an allegation of domestic abuse and it's fabricated or whatever, well, that can get sorted out. I still want people to come forward. That's what we have the criminal process for. And I want the victims of crime to come forward.
And honestly, that's why we have the civil process too. Bill Cosby. Even though he got out of jail and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has said that he was wrongfully convicted because he had a no prosecute agreement in place with the at the time district attorney that should bind future district attorneys to those type of agreements, he is now getting sued civilly by another accuser. And so just because of one case he wins, in essence, doesn't stop it from other victims coming forward or alleged victims coming forward.
That's right. And he's facing this lawsuit. And in this one in particular, and from a statute of limitations standpoint, I think that this suit is still going because of the manner in which a change in the law in the statute of limitations in the state of California occurred. But Bill Cosby is what, 85 years old?
Yes.
And he is being sued by a 64-year-old person about something that the 64-year-old alleged to have happened when she was 16. I mean, the allegations date back to the 70s of an incident she's claiming happened occurred at the Playboy Mansion back in the 70s. And Mr. Cosby has to answer for that, and the process is there for this alleged victim to make her claim in a state court – to bring forward her claim. And the fact that Cosby was acquitted in or found ultimately had the conviction dismissed on appeal in the state of Pennsylvania. And let's point out that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, technically, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. So follow me on these mental gymnastics, these legal gymnastics. You're innocent until proven guilty. The DA's office, the prosecutor, used evidence to overcome that burden, overcome that presumption, to prove that Bill Cosby was guilty and now no longer innocent. And the Supreme Court ruled that the evidence used to overcome that presumption should not have been used. So the Supreme Court is saying he has returned to that presumption of not guilty. The case is tossed. The Supreme Court did not say, we don't believe the incident never happened. We don't believe that. They're making no statement as far as that's concerned. What they're saying is the evidence that the state used to prove it should not have been used. And because of that, the case was tossed. And so the court made no statement about whether or not they thought the incident actually did or didn't occur. They just said, you got to follow the rules that apply to everybody. And that has no bearing on whether or not the plaintiff can maintain their lawsuit in California.
Now, the California case has interesting facts, or at least allegations. Let's put it that way. The plaintiff, who was 16 at the time, was at the Playboy Mansion. Now, tell me, what is a 16-year-old doing at the Playboy Mansion? This event was allegedly occurred in 1975, and there is enough evidence here that's going to go to the jury, because there are pictures, there are other things that are being introduced evidence-wise that puts Mr. Cosby there and puts the plaintiff there at the mansion at that time. And so this all, you have to think, too, this is in the context of 1975. So this is where people would be so afraid, victims would be afraid to come forward. This is a classic case where the defendant, Mr. Cosby, would have been in so much more power and control, and certainly would have been a very well-known persona back in 1975. And think about how difficult it would have been back in 1975 for a 16-year-old to try to confront Bill Cosby. That's such an unfair kind of advantage that Mr. Cosby would have had back then. But now, the table seemed to be turning.
And the primary defense in that case is they're claiming that it didn't happen in 75. They're saying, based upon pictures and everything, it happened later when she was 18. The defense being, if she was 18 or older, this is not a case. The crux of this case is based upon her age, so the defense is going to try to show that based upon memorabilia and pictures and all that, that this happened at a different point in time when she was not a minor.
So they're saying she was a consenting adult, or at least an adult.
Well, except she alleges coercion.
Yes.
So I think she's going to overcome that, too. I do think it's going to a jury.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to have to see how this one goes.
And that'll do it for our third hour. Stick with us. We're one more hour of Radio Law Talk. Our second hour, third hour coming up.
Nice recovery, Todd. That was good. We'll be right back with more Radio Law Talk right after this. You stay there. We'll be here. We'll be back. Promise. Bye-bye.
And other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been...
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes.
If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.